Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know it works in giving you a boner. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness, besides from me reading this. It's made in the U.S. of A, America. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. You can visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code ARMCHAIR, A-R-M-C-H-A-I-R, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring this train wreck of a podcast.
Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because
other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is
bombed out of his gourd.
All right, everybody, it's time for another episode of Drunk Saints History. I'm your host, Ralph Marlboro. This episode is with a patron. If you are a patron and you donate $25 for 8 months, you get your own episode of Drunk History. You pick the topic, boom, we do it when your schedule allows. This guy has been a patron for a really long time. He has gone from Podbean over to Patreon, which you should all do because you get more free stuff. Cody, Guy, thanks for doing it. I know we went back. You're like world traveling. You're going to Cuba. You're going here. You're going there. And you're like, Guy, I got to get this done before the season starts, or you'll have to wait till 2020. So we're getting it done. Thanks for joining us. What are you drinking before we get started?
I am drinking a Cuban rum while I wave to the DHS van outside.
That's what Cody said to me. He said before we started, he said, Ralph, I'm probably on a list somewhere.
Yeah.
So, Cody, the patrons that want to do the topics, your topic is super near and dear to everybody's heart, but mine especially. I said, what do you want to do? Because you guys really are the people that the drunk history people that wanted to do this are really the ones that really kicked off the funding for this show, and it's grown and grown. It's amazing now, but there was a handful of you guys that jumped on the bandwagon to start and really supported us and allowed us to do all the great things at the beginning of 2 years ago when we really tried to change and improve the podcast. But you chose the Meet Your Round game 2009, and I'm just giddy to talk about this game. What made you want to do Drunk History, and what made you choose the 2009 Meet Your Round game?
Well, I thought, like, Drunk History, you know, and I just remember this game. Like, I got drunk because of this game, because was just insane. Like, I went from watching in my dorm room to turn it off, drinking, going studying, because I was like, this is ridiculous, especially after the week that they had just creamed Tom Brady, you know, and they were coming off a high, and like, it just seemed like they're in quicksand. So I went from my room drinking happily to the library drinking sadly, to checking the phone, to running back to my dorm to finish watching the game.
Well, you know what had happened in this game, and you know, you told me that we were going to do this, and a couple weeks ago you said, hey, this is the day I can do it, and this is what I want to do. So I did some research, and you know, the interesting thing about this game, and by the way, we have a link
on the Podbean and on the Patreon post for this Drunk History. We have Cody found a 13-minute highlight that we're gonna. So click that link when we tell you, and me and Cody are just gonna watch it, and it's gonna be awesome, and you can just follow right along. But you know what was what I had sort of forgotten, Cody, is you know they played New England the week before on Monday Night Football, and going into that game, everybody was like, this is. And I know a lot of experts thought it too. They're like, this is the week the Saints are probably going to lose because New England, of course, with Tom Brady is really good. And the Saints' secondary was just shot to hell. They were injured all to hell. You know, they signed Chris McCallister. They brought back Mike McKenzie. Like, their secondary was shot to hell. And against New England, like, McKenzie had a pick. And it worked out. And you were like, it doesn't matter. This is a magical year. We can literally sign people off the street on a Wednesday, plug them in Monday night against Tom Brady, and we win anyway. It doesn't even matter.
And not only that, if you remember, like, not only did they sign, like, homeless people off the street, remember, they sat Tom Brady at the end of that game.
Yeah,
sat his ass.
They sat, and that's the thing, man. Like, my column for Channel 4, I was like, this is the greatest moment I think I've ever seen for Saints history. They literally, the Saints made Tom Brady and Bill Belichick say no mas, which is the famous Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard fight in the Superdome from the 80s, and I compared it to that. Like, the Patriots, they literally said no mas and quit. And threw up the white flag on Monday night against the Saints. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, those problems in the secondary with the injuries, like, they really reared their ugly head against Washington. Because this game, I mean, this Washington team was a trash pile. They were 3-8. They had Jim Zorn as their coach. He was terrible. They were just a mess. They had Jason Campbell at quarterback. So right now, this is where, if you see that highlight, that's the link in there, open that up in your YouTube window, and Cody, you do the same. I'm going to start playing it. So you know, the Saints, they start out in this game, and, you know, Washington comes out, and they're just, Jason Campbell's just picking them apart.
Just rocking it.
I mean, he's going over Malcolm Jenkins, who was playing corner then. I mean, Malcolm Jenkins just tackled the dude. Just armbarred him. And they're just, there's no pass rush. They're hitting, you know, dudes wide open. Saints are blasting them. That would have been a penalty if it did that this year. I mean, dudes are running free. I mean, Washington is just bang, bang, bang right down the field. They're running shotgun 4 wide. Yeah. No pressure. Jason Campbell throws, hits.
Just got all day. And look, he just walks into the end zone. And it's like, really, this team is like a 3-18. Yeah, hits, like, given up. There was, I think you'll see later in the, like right here. Like, you can see there's no way in hell they're getting into the playoffs. Like, they have nothing to play for.
No, and then, I mean, you know, and the Saints, look, there was a feeling like the Saints were thinking, oh, they're not going undefeated. You know, and it's just, man, that Monday night game was such a big game. And here he's just rolling out, hitting Fred Davis 15 yards. I mean, this, you can see, like, this at this point, like, this Saints defense, man, you can tell, like, the injuries and attrition are catching up to them. And that defense really, when they weren't creating turnovers, they were a mess. Like, they really were. They were sneaky bad. Like, they were sneaky terrible against. They were giving up 4.5 yards a carry. Like, the thing was, it didn't matter because they never fell behind, so teams couldn't really lean on them. But you know, they're down 10-0, and Meacham, who's in this famous game, but, you know, and the Saints come out flat, but that thing, like, that team, and really, even now, even when the Saints have defensive troubles, Cody, you know, you're 10-0, you worry, but you're like, whatever, 10-0, it's not that big a deal. Like, and this 2019, like, you never felt they were out of anything. Like, they were down in they were down to Miami, whoever. You just, didn't care. Here, you know, here's Breeze, though. He's throwing, he's got, he hits David Thomas, and they, you know, Garrett Hartley, who's back, and he's banging through. Garrett Hartley always, it was the chip shot field goals that killed him, but Washington, man, they get back, and they're just,
they just like, that's like the only good running stop that they have. And if you look at the game stats, I was looking at, if you look at, like, the full box score, like, Washington had 88 yards rushing. New Orleans only had 55 yards rushing the entire game. But yet, I mean, there was like over almost 1,000 yards a game.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though. This 2009, you look at that line, man, that the Saints had with Evans and Nix and Jonathan Goodwin and Bushrod. That line was just super.
Didn't two of them make the all pro?
I mean, yeah, they did. Colston, dude. That Washington secondary is an abomination, dude. He just ran out. He just ran a little curling up. Just no one within 20 yards of him.
No, this is just like a clinic.
But look, Jason Campbell, pump, wait, you know. Just Santana Moss just roasting Malcolm Jenkins like he's not even there. Then Jason Campbell, just step back, throw it, you know. The Saints, crappy tackling. Yeah.
What tackling? The man just fell down.
Screen pass, dude, open. I mean, but the thing is, when these games for the Saints in 2009, you were like, Washington, whatever, you're up 17-10. You can't. You look at that game, you're like, you can't stop the Saints. It's like, whatever, you know. So you're not really thinking about it. You know, then it's about to get really. Then it's about to get weird. You know, the Saints fumble the punt, and you know, Juju was at this game, I believe.
Really,
and he hates the Reds. He hates the Redskins, and you know, spreading Reggie Bush out wide hits him. I mean, was there? I mean, you just look at this. Here it is, here it's coming up.
It's coming up here.
This is just, I mean, if you want to talk about a bananas play in Saints history, I mean.
He avoids the sack right here and just throws it up.
Yeah. And that's like peak YOLO Breeze. Like, look at me. Yeah. Jimmy just grabs it. Like, this play, I just fell out my sofa. I just laughed hysterically. Like, it's just, I'm just like, what is that? This, like, we're not, I said to my
wife. I remember my roommate coming into my room because I was like, holy shit, what the hell's going on? He goes, dude, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. Because I don't know if you remember. I remember, didn't it take him like ten minutes?
It did. Because they had to figure out, okay, did he intercept it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So did he intercept it? Was Shockey touching him, you know, as he was down? So, yes, he intercepted. No, he was up, so it's a touchdown. I mean, and the thing is,
they had to review it, like, was he down when Meacham stripped the ball from him?
Yeah. So pause the game because we need to talk. Pause your highlights if you're watching on the YouTube clip. And we have to talk about this. I mean, it's not like a top five play in Saints history because they have so many big ones, right? Especially in the Drew Brees era. And it's not even maybe top 10. But if you just take ridiculousness, it might be top, you know. I mean, if you want to go good and bad ridiculousness, you could go the Minnesota miracle / disaster. You can go last year. You can go Tommy Lee Lewis getting mugged and assaulted and no flag. You can even go back in the old days in like 91, like Michael Haynes had like a 70-yard touchdown with like 4 minutes to go in a playoff game against the Saints when he played for Atlanta. Like, you can go that. That's pretty awful. But I mean, just like weirdness. This might be it, because this game, like, I feel like, Cody, when you talk about 2009, like, this is in the first like five things you mention, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Like, if you pull it up, I think Saints did like a top 50 plays or something like that, or 50 years, 50 plays or something like that. And like, this is one of the top ones that they show.
I mean, because I mean, you can have great plays of, you know, the Tracy Porter interception or the interception in the Super Bowl, but there's a dozen plays like that in NFL history in big, huge games. It's an interception return. A pick six is a pick six. I mean, yes, the stakes are different, but they all look the same, right? You step in front of the ball, you go up the sideline. Like they'll have 20 of those this year in the NFL. The stakes won't be as high. It won't be a Super Bowl, but it'll all look the same. You know, the meet around, you got to search long and fucking hard to find this bastard of a play, you know?
I know, it's just ridiculous. Because like you were saying, like a pick six, like you say, if you take it like by itself, it's the context that makes a pick six special. Like a pick six by itself is just, okay, whatever, you pick the ball off or whatnot. This by itself, if you're not a football fan, you know, you watch soccer or you're just a tennis fan or something, this by itself is ridiculousness, you know? That you don't have to know anything about the game. They're like, holy shit, this is weird. And I know that this doesn't happen ever.
I remember when it happened. I said out loud, I was like, we're never losing a game ever.
We're just going to go 19 and a half. I said that this game, but it was later. It was when, we'll get to it. When? But it's when the kicker, he was 3 for 3, and he just shanked that shot to go to overtime.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. So, you know, the Saints, it's 17-17 in the third. And you go to halftime, you're like, they're winning this game. Like, the Minnesota, Washington's a mess. But really, it was the same thing, man. The Saints' secondary was it was destroyed. You know, they at this point, they don't have Porter. They don't have. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have Greer. You know, they're playing literally hobos or washed up NFL players, and it just like there comes a point in every. Oh, by the way, Courtney Roby, man, he was so sneaky good in 2009. He ran a kickoff back against the Rams. He had the big kickoff return versus Minnesota. He was so sneaky good. But there comes a point. I don't care what NFL team you are. I don't care if you're New England or whoever. There comes a point where you run out of bodies and you start putting out people. The Saints, of course, get stuffed here on 4th-and-1. That So you don't have enough bodies, right? And I mean, these dudes. And Amon, he's just killing the Saints. He's just, like, it's not even contested throws. It's just the
dude is just wide open.
Yeah. So, you know, and here's the thing. Like, Jason Campbell was just, you know, a mediocre quarterback. You know, and he's number 11. He just scored again, and the Washington's up 10. But I mean, you know. That box score, this little stretch of stuff for the Saints, you looked at. I mean, Jason Campbell, 30 of 42, 367, and 3 touchdowns. You know, you had Devin Thomas, 7 for 102 touchdowns. That's who I kept thinking it was Santana Moss. He caught 5, but Devin Thomas. That's who I was thinking of. You know, and this was a point where, even though the Saints were undefeated, you started to really look at that defense, and you were like. Oh my God! Like, is this defense good enough? Because we know we have everything else. Is this defense going to sabotage us? And it started to become a real question. And it just became a point of we got to get people back. Like, you were at the point. I mean, when you got Jason Campbell, you know, and Devin Thomas just roasting you. You know, you're in crisis. So, you know, Devin Thomas, he just scores there. You know, the Saints are up down 27-17. But, you know, again, man, the Saints, they had really nice tight ends there. They Shockey and Dave Thomas, who the Saints got from New England, you know, right in training camp because they needed. He ended up being a really nice player. You know,
yeah, he was a good rotational.
No, and New England people hate him because he had a big drop in 08 versus Miami that cost them. Like, that's the last time they didn't make the playoffs, you know. But they have bad memories of him. But for Saints, he was a nice player. And the Saints are down 27-20. But again, man, I mean, look at the 82 is just like run. I mean, dudes are just running free and. You know, but this was a critical little point. The Saints got a goal line stand, and the kicker kicks it in, and it's 30-20, and you're like, you know, it's still very much doable. Oh, look at this Pierre Thomas is just, he was just so magnificent on the screen. For a guy who he wasn't blazing speed, he just knew how to set up blocks, and there he is. And then Breeze, you know, the Saints are just, they're just, Washington can't stop them.
They marched down the field, but you can see, I'm at 852 right now, you know, just problems in the red zone, just not really just punching it in there.
Yeah, you know, and you know, but the, and it's 30-20, and you could see it. I mean, Drew Brees is marching, and the Saints are hitting, but the Saints come down here, and you know, they you know, Washington stops them, so they have to kick a field goal. And at this point, you get concerned because it's 30-23, but the Saints just, they just aren't getting stops. And Washington, to their credit, like, they didn't try to run the ball. They just like, you know what, the Saints can't stop us throwing the ball. We're just gonna keep on throwing it, and that's a whiff tackle, and Saint, you know, gets a first down. And at this point, I kind of resigned myself. I was like, you know, they're not going undefeated. Washington's kind of marching down here. I mean, you're playing Chris McCallister, who's about 1,000 years old, and you're playing him in crunch time. I mean, that's as bad as it. That's as desperate as it gets at corner, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, we had nobody. We had to pick people off the street, like, the week before, just to put bodies on the field to make sure we had 11 people, you know, on the field.
And this chip shot field, I mean, this is just like, this dude, he's kicking. And then he shanks it, and I fell off my couch. I just fell off my couch laughing, Cody, because I was like, the Saints are winning. Like, I was no doubt in my mind. And just, like, between that kick and this drive where, you know, Drew Brees hits him and hits one play, and then, you know, he hits Meacham again. By the way, this is probably Meach's finest moment in the NFL. You know,
Then
just the Brees just steps up, and Meacham is just wide open. And Washington, you could just see that, like, the whole stadium just collapses, and they're just like, I can't believe we're losing this game. And I was like, there's no way the Saints. I'm like, Washington's just going to have a turnover or something. We're going to win this game in regular. Like, it is. I mean, I just, like literally, like, belly laughing, Cody, and like, if Dave or Andrew tells a good joke on the podcast, where I can't stop laughing. Or if you saw my WWL morning TV show Hits, where the cat is behind me, or Eric Paulson does a good insult on me, and I have to blink 7-8 times because I just have to stifle the laughter. And here it is, man. You know, Vilma was so good. I mean,
so good. Vilma, just bam, right there.
Vilma, Vilma really, in 09, was really good, great. In 08, he was otherworldly. Like, and Warren, you know, before his knee, I mean, basically, Vilma's knee went and it was done. And, you know, and the Saints knew that. And this was at the end of the half. You know, the end of the game, the Saints tried a really long field goal and it comes up short. You know, and that's the thing that was so great about the Saints. They're so good in the two-minute drill that, like, if there's like 35 seconds, the Saints have like 35 seconds in a timeout, you totally believe they're going to, like, they can do it and make it happen. It's just, they're so good at Brees and getting to the line. And here's Campbell. I mean, Washington, they just kept on keeping on, you know. And this was another controversial play where you're like, is he down? Is he what? And I was, I can remember this. I was stunned that they overturned this. Like,
if you kind of see it, like, where he does the little line, you can see his elbow's down, but
the ball's kind of out. Yeah.
You don't know if he has possession or he does or doesn't like that. Like that, that was actually one of the few times a review call went our way.
Devery Henderson, nice catch there. And Bree, just, you know, Colston, you know, just little outs. I mean, at this point, you know, Washington, they know they're done. You know, and there's Pierre. And it was interesting is the Saints, they thought Mike Bell, and by this time Mike Bell really had sort of started to cede the role to Pierre Thomas. You know, because his early season struggles were there, and there's Hartley kicking this field goal. This game is just so amazing. Like, look at Breeze. Breeze is even like, I can't believe we just won this game.
Right.
And they celebrate the championship, and it's just great. I mean, it's just magical. And I mean, for me, Cody, the more I think of it, when I think of 09, like, I think of the Minnesota game, and I think of the Super Bowl, but I may think of the Washington game, probably the Miami game, because I went, and I was with my wife, and it was just so much fun to be in Miami. But those are probably the games that I really think about. And the Monday night game where they just massacred Atlanta. You know, like, those are the moments. I mean, and I would say probably a lot of people, besides the playoff wins, like, Washington might be the game, the moment.
Yeah, that was almost like the moment to me. It was like, we're winning the Super Bowl. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is. You know, like, we have the – I remember the ESPN commentator at the time, he called it the Creole Mojo was what the Saints had. And, like, I was – 100% bought into it. Creole Mojo. I was like, there is somebody off of Jackson Square who paid a lot of money to the right witch doctor. And
I didn't hear that. I like Creole Mojo, man. That's good. That's not, it's not quite as good as our Saint season schedule screensaver poster that we gave to all the patrons, Season of Vengeance. But Creole Mojo is pretty good. We may steal that and use that for the 2020 schedule. So, you know, and Cody, look, we don't know. We record these, so we don't know when they're going to run. So I try not to get too much into the Saints season. But what is the before we get out of here? What's the defining moment when you became a Saints fan, young? You know.
Like, I was always an LSU fan. I think it was like the Philadelphia game. I forgot what game it was, but I distinctly remember I was watching my grandparents' living room. I forget who they were playing, but I remember my cousin or my aunt wanted to change the channel, watch some Hallmark or something like that, and my mother, my grandfather, and I were sitting there around the TV like. It was 5 minutes left to go, and that 5 minutes took 30 minutes to go because there was, like, penalties and reviews, and, like, there was back and forth, and they eventually, like, in the last second, were able to score and then just run out the clock. And I think right there, like, that just adrenaline rush of up and down and all around, I guess I got – at a young age, I got addicted to it.
So how old are you?
I am 29.
Okay, so you were 29, so that would have been like 06, you'd have been like 16.
Yeah.
So look, I mean, that's the thing, you know, a lot of Saints fans, like, you've been blessed in that you're 29, 30. Saints have been really relevant and really fun for 13 years, you know? Yeah. And
although I do remember the Ricky Jackson trade.
Ricky Williams trade. That's 20 years ago. You know, and that's the thing.
I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it now is Jason David is a decade ago, you know, and I try to remember that, you know, and me and Andrew do it all the time, and that's one thing I really, among the wonderful things that Dave, I think, is like the fan id of the podcast, and he's wonderful, but one thing that Dave does is he really keeps us grounded is Dave became a Saints fan in 2005, 2006. So that's his, you know, the sort of like your experience starts when you were born, and his Saints fandom was born in 06. So that's what he remembers. So Dave really, when we talk about the 90s and the early 2000s, like, Dave doesn't know it. So he doesn't like to talk about it, and he keeps us relevant. Mm-hmm. But that's really good, because most of the people, I see the numbers, like most of the people, like not most of the people, but a huge majority is like 30 to 50% are listening to the podcast are under 35. And if you're under 35, man, the early 90s for Jim Mora, even Ditka, that might as well be 1945, you know? So it, you know, that's the thing, like the memories that we try to bring up and the past things in the Saints, like you really can keep it you go back to the beginning of the Peyton era, that's 13 years. That's a long freaking, you know, that's a long freaking time. If you're, if you're 25, you probably barely know the Saints pre-Katrina, you know?
So,
I always like to hear the patrons tell people their fandom, because people love the patron spotlights. And if you want to do a drunk history, donate $25 for 8 months. It's great. We appreciate this because, you know, as the podcast, it's gotten bigger. We have ads. We have all these things. And it's really because of that group of people when we started on Podbean like 2.5 years ago that were like, hey, we'll give you a dollar. No, you're doing a drunk history, we'll pay $25. Like, it allowed us to do it. And that's why when I do these drunk histories, I still enjoy them as much as the first one I did with a patron. And there, you guys, you always say, oh, I'm nervous. But most of the time, we get a couple of drinks in us and we just relax and we're just talking Saints. So, yeah. Cody, I appreciate it. Do you have sort of, why do you listen? Because there's 1,000 Saints podcasts out there. Like, why do you listen to us and not, or maybe you listen to a bunch, but I don't know if, you know, there's not a lot of podcasts that people are giving $25 a month to. What makes you appreciate us so much to do that?
I don't know. It's like, y'all, it's I guess like the old intro. So like the perfect blend of sincerity and stupidity. And it's like perfect. Like, it's not too much X&O. Like, I do enjoy the X&O. Like, I really like when Andrew really breaks it down and stuff like that. But it feels more like you are very approachable. It feels like literally like it's like you, Dave, Andrew, and Kevin on Mondays get together at a bar and you talk about the week, you know, and it just feels you are way more approachable, you know, and there's a way better connection and dialogue. You know, there's no forcing, you know, y'all crack jokes. And with my ADHD rattled brain, when y'all go off on tangents and stuff, that is not a problem because like my brain is easy, just follows right along with y'all.
Yeah, and the thing for me is as I've always wanted the podcast to be just go off on tangents. But the longer we've gone, Andrew, he used to be an X's and O guy. And my theory is that most fans, we don't know what the fuck we're watching when we watch football, if we're being honest. Like, yes, there's 15% of us that know the X's and O's like Andrew, and they know it, and they can explain it. But most of us, we don't know what the fuck we're watching. I know the Saints. I know their history. I know all the pain and the jokes and all this. And the thing is, with a podcast, like, no one's going to remember or even cares what my prediction was in 2015 or Andrew's or Dave's. What people want is when they listen to a podcast, whether it's the Saints or whatever, when they listen to that show on their drive home from work or to work or on an airplane or whatever, they just want to be entertained for that 45 minutes or an hour. And my thoughts on the Saints are no better or more informed than Duncan or guy who breaks down film or whatever. But what we do here is we are going to make you laugh. We are either laughing with the Saints because they're winning and we're clowning the other teams, or we're laughing at the Saints because they're terrible on defense and they're in the 7-9 hellhole. Like, that's it. Like, that's it. We're making the jokes, and we just appreciate you guys. Cody, this has been phenomenal. We will, you know, during the year it'll be fun, but we can't, like I said, I've said it a bunch. We can't say thank you
enough.
Welcome
to Saints Hit.
I hit the wrong thing, Cody. That's
Oh, also, why I love those podcasts. I just remembered. No one hates on Atlanta like you guys. And so to that, that's just mwah, like the piece de resistance is how, like, even if like the Saints lost, let's say the Saints lost, but the Falcons lost even worse in prime time or something like that. It makes up for the Saints loss.
Atlanta losing in the preseason excites me. That's how much I hate Atlanta. So, thanks, guy. I can't appreciate you enough. Guys, this has been Saints Drunk History. We've had way too much fun for this. I hope you enjoyed it as much as me. And Excuse me, I'm losing it. I'm drinking too much, Cody. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as me and Cody have. So until next time, the Drunk History Bar is closed.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints History possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.